All right, guys, we're going to start a new topic today. It's going to take several weeks. We're going to talk about man. And when I say man, I'm talking about human beings. So we're going to talk about human beings. Today, we're going to talk about the origin of human beings and how we were created. But then we're going to talk about the fall and the implications of the fall. That'll be in another week. And there's just some more to this topic. It's probably going to take us another 2 or 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks, to get through this, because the Bible has a lot to say about man, right? I mean, it's told us about angels and demons. It's told us about Jesus and the Holy Spirit and God the Father. But one of the main emphases of Scripture is you and I. So it's kind of good for us to take a look at what the Scripture says. So we're going to talk about man today, and specifically let's talk about the origin of man. So let me just start with is the assumption of the Scripture. The assumption of the Scripture. What do you mean? Well, it is the immediate, now notice the word immediate. Creation is the literal teaching of the Scripture. So what you need to understand is that when it comes to what the Scripture says, the Bible says that man was created immediately. Now, why would that be significant to say immediate? Anybody know? Yeah, people evolving. Starting out maybe as whatever, you know, some kind of ape. You know, they used to say man descended from apes. But have you noticed the problem with evolution is they have no intermediate species between one and the other. So like going from an ape to a human being, there is no intermediate species, the fossils of that. Do you understand? So when we talk about man being created, we're talking he was immediately created. And the Scripture gives testimony to that. Yes, Sam.
Immediate means the power of our Creator.
Yes, it is the power of the Creator. Yes, that's exactly right.
It didn't take time.
That's exactly right. Now, we're talking about creation, so let me remind you of what Peter talks about in 2 Peter chapter 3. He talks about Christ's second coming. And he talks about the skeptics of the second coming. And he gives this characteristic of those skeptics is that they don't even believe in creation. So if a person doesn't believe in creation and that God created, they're not going to believe that he's coming back. That was the point that Peter's making. So really, this is an issue ultimately of what? Faith. And so let's talk about what the Scripture does say. So Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 27, then God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created in his own image, in the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. So here, God is saying, I'm going to create them in the Trinity's image. Now, let's talk about that. We're going to talk about that here in a moment. But here's what I want you to see. Adam and Eve were created male and female. The very first couple was created male and female. Now, I thought this was interesting. About 10 years ago or so, you know, with the emergence of DNA technology, I read an article. It was a scientific article that was saying about how with DNA, they can trace back all human beings to one woman. Okay, but then they were saying it had to be trying to fit it into evolution, that it had to be something in the evolutionary cycle. But my point is, what I was caught by is that we're all related. And it goes back to one who? Woman. And I would also say one guy, right? Adam and Eve. And they were created male and female. Male and female. In fact, this is what Matthew says. Matthew chapter 19, verse 4. And he answered, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female?" He created two different people biologically, and one was a woman and one was a man. Here's the other thing. Eve was made directly by God. We say, well, Adam was too. Yes, Adam was too, but we need to also make mention of here that Eve was directly made by God. Now, how was she made, according to the scripture? A rib from Adam's side, right? Okay. So she was created directly by God. Okay. She didn't evolve from Adam. He didn't have an amoeba splits into two different amoebas. It's not like that. She was directly created. In fact, here's what I want you to see. Genesis chapter 2, verse 21. So God caused a deep sleep to fall upon man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And so it's from there that he created Eve. Now, why do we remember why he created Eve? Yeah, a companion, because he didn't want Adam to be what? Alone, yes. All right, alone. All right, now, here's what I want you to see. Here's the other thing. Man comes from and goes back to dust. Man comes from and goes back to dust. Now, isn't that interesting? How do we know that? Go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. Genesis 3:19. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return. So that's the reality, is our physical bodies return to dust. Now we know that to be true, right? Even though we bury them, now forget cremation for the moment, but even though we bury them, and burial has been a part of humankind from the beginning, it eventually returns back to what? Dust. Yeah, because here's the thing. Cemeteries don't last forever, do they? No. No, not at all. The fact is our physical bodies return to dust. But that doesn't mean you're done, because you have a what? You have a soul. To be absent from the body is to what? Be present with the Lord is what the scripture says concerning believers. Now, in fact, here it is. Man becomes a living soul. The scripture distinguishes between animal flesh and human flesh. Now, do you understand what that means? Animal flesh and human flesh are what? Different. Yes. Now why? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul writes in verse 39, "For not all flesh is the same, but there is one kind for humans, and another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish." You guys know that, right? You know, so like the other day, I was driving to Clearfield, and I noticed, because the river usually has people in there fishing, but when I was driving by the Civic Center, I noticed there were 12 guys in one little part of the river. On a Thursday, And so I just thought to myself, the truck must have been by. The Fish Commission truck, you know what I'm saying? And so they're all there to get their catch. You know what I'm saying? Whatever. Because you don't normally see 12 guys. You might see two or three, but you don't normally see 12. But when they catch that fish, is it red meat? Unless it's salmon. But I mean, is it red meat? No, it's fish, right? Now, when you go out, some of you have been turkey hunting, and you get yourself that turkey. Is it like venison? No, the meat's completely different. It's a bird, right? Then when you take a deer, is it like human flesh? No, not at all. You know what I'm saying? Do you see what I'm saying? Paul's making a distinction. So when you talk about people who say that we've evolved, our flesh is completely different than any kind of animal. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is the distinction that Paul is making here. Now, let's go on. We're going to talk now the rest of our time about the character of man, the original character. Because it says that we were created in the image of God. Does everybody understand that? You were created in the image of God. So let's first of all talk about what that doesn't mean. So it's not physical likeness of God. What do you mean? God is a spirit and does not have parts like humans. God is a spirit and does not have parts like humans. You say, well, when I read the Bible, it talks about the mighty hand of God. That is a literary tool. It doesn't mean that God has a literal hand like you and I do, but it's a literary tool to refer to something about God. There is no physical likeness. He is a spirit. So, therefore, man is not the physical likeness of God. So what is he talking about then? You know, what is he talking about when he says we are created in the likeness of God? Well, that's where we're going to spend three areas here. First of all, it was a mental likeness. First thing I need you to understand, it was a mental likeness. Now, what do you mean by that, George? Well, God is a spirit, and the human soul is a spirit. So our soul is a spirit, all right? We understand that. We inhabit flesh. God is a spirit. Now, the essential attributes of the spirit is reason, conscience, and will. Now, would everybody agree you have all three of those things? Yeah. Like for instance, some of you guys who are coffee guys, you came in here, you got your cup, filled up your coffee, and then you got this huge assortment of creamers in the back. And you've got to reason out which one you're going to use today. Now, thankfully, there's one of every kind that we normally have. But let's say we ran out of the one you normally have. Then you've got to sit there and reason out, what's my second choice? Then you have to exercise will by getting your hand to reach over and grab what? The little pod, and then open it up and pour it in to change the taste to something you like. Now, where did that come from? You were created in the likeness, the mental likeness of God. You have the ability to reason. You have the ability to will. You have the ability to make choices. That's how he made you. He made you and I that way. We're not mindless. Did you understand? We're not mindless animals, so to speak. You say, well, I just recently saw something about how they use tools and things. Yes, they do. But they don't have the means of reasoning and having an intellect and making choices based upon that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Making choices based upon that. Now, anybody got a question? Yeah. Yeah. Yes. And conscience. Yeah. Yes, we have choice. Yep. And that comes from God. God gave us that. Yep. Yep. And I think originally he created the angels that way. But in their choice, some chose, and that's where a third of them were cast out. Do you understand? They chose evil. But then they're frozen. Do you understand? There's a state which they will remain that way, and those who are good will remain that way as well. Do you understand? Now for us, we have choice. But isn't it interesting? When you choose the Lord Jesus as your Savior, is there an option of going back? You understand what I mean? But we're able to repent, yes, but what I'm saying is, can we go back to our unsaved condition? Yeah, but this is, okay, yeah, I understand that, Tim, but here's my point. Just like with the angels who made their choice, and those who made the choice to follow God and be with him, they will forever be servants to him. You and I, when we choose the Lord Jesus as our Savior, why can't we? Okay. Right, Lori? Yes, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 through 14. And the Holy Spirit becomes our guarantee of the inheritance. Do you understand? Do you understand? Because you can't go back. We say, I know somebody who used to go to church, and now he's living like hell, and he doesn't even want Jesus. Yes, we meet people like that, but they probably never knew him. How do I know that? Because the scripture says that. They were from us, but then they went out from us because they were never a part of us, is what the scripture says. That's scary, isn't it? They were among us, and then they went out from us, but then they were never a part of us, is what the scripture implies, that there are people who make professions of faith, but they were never truly saved. Do you understand? All right, got two more points. So we are like him in mental likeness. We're also like him in moral likeness. The likeness of God in man consists in both man's rational nature and in his moral conformity to God. So we're created, and originally man was created to be morally like him. Here's the other one, social likeness. What? What does that mean? Okay, here we go. God has a social nature. He endowed man with a social nature. Now, how do we know that God has a social nature? Because God is a Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one, one in three, and they have a relationship with each other. God is relational, right? Therefore, he created you and I to be relational. Now, I don't care how introverted you are. You could be the most extreme introverted person here, okay? The fact of the matter is, you still need to be with who? People. We're social creatures. So human love and social interests spring directly from this element in man's nature. Now, when we look at this next week, we're going to talk about how that all got corrupted. And it did, and your nature is still corrupted.